Last Thursday was what's known as Ascension. I can't even say it, Ascension Day. It's exactly 40 days after Easter. This represents the 40 days from the resurrection of Jesus from the grave to his ascension into heaven. He spent 40 days with his disciples and then went back to the Father, as he had told them he was going to. You know, there's a lot of symbolism in this act of ascending into heaven, because Jesus said he was going to the Father, and this is obviously that time when he went to the Father. This is when he went where he told the disciples, "I'm going where you cannot go." And they didn't understand that because they had to stay behind and do the work that he had trained them for, that he called them for, that they were being empowered by the Holy Spirit for. But Jesus had left the Father's presence, and he gave up the glory he had in heaven and became a human being. And as a human who was also fully God, he kept all his Father's commands perfectly. And he died for us, was resurrected for us, that we might have life. We know that. We understand that. But today I want to look a little bit at the ascension. You know, you go 10 days from last Thursday and you end up with next week on Sunday, which is Pentecost Sunday, which is 50 days after Easter. But today I want to look at the ascension of Jesus and see what it means for us today. This is not a celebration that most churches will celebrate. You know, the Catholic Church, I believe, celebrates it. Protestant churches, mainly the ones that we would call high church, are the ones with a tremendous amount of liturgy and celebration and those kind of things. Those are the churches that that usually would talk about this or do that, the ones that have much liturgy, that kind of thing. But I think it's important enough for us to acknowledge and to understand the symbolism. You know, the Nicene Creed, one of the things that it states there is that Christ, ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And then it finishes that thought with, "and will come again in glory." But the Son of God ascended to heaven. Let me read that again. Christ ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. This is what the Bible tells us about this particular occurrence that happened. I think the ascension is only mentioned in three places, in Acts and in Luke, and then there's one other reference, I can't remember where. So it's not something that the apostles put a lot of emphasis on. It's not something that they said the church has to celebrate, but I think there's some important things involved in it. That are very encouraging to me when you think about them. You know, after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to his disciples. He was born as both God and man. And at this time, he was still both God and man when he was resurrected. They could touch him. They could give him a hug. He could also eat. Even though his new resurrected form, he didn't have to eat to stay alive, but he could eat. Because he was human as well as God. But he says, you know, Jesus did not show the disciples his glory. I mean, he didn't just glow while he was there with them, but he showed them that he was indeed bodily resurrected. You know, Jesus was resurrected. If someone is resurrected, what's given life? The body. You're reanimated again, come to life again. Jesus was resurrected. His body came out of the grave. If you're a human and you're resurrected, your body comes to life again. And Jesus was human, just as much as you and I are human. He was in the grave for 3 days. He was in there with such short time in a very cool tomb that his body had not started to corrupt and break down. His body didn't disappear at the resurrection. It was transformed at the resurrection. It was changed at the resurrection. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to run you around to three or four places here today, and I apologize for that. I usually like staying on one spot, but I want to go here to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 says, but Christ was indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So it says that Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of those who have died. For verse 21, that's what fallen asleep means. Verse 21, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. Jesus was a man who was resurrected. He was also God, but he was a man as well. So he said, we follow after Adam in that we all die. Death came through a man, through Adam. He says, Adam made a choice to go the way of sin that we've all been following ever since. But he says the resurrection of the dead is also coming through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, and then when he comes, those who belong to him. So he said Christ is the first to be resurrected this way. Let's drop down, if we want to, starting in verse 42. This is 1 Corinthians 15, 42. Here he says, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. That's what happened to Jesus. It says, it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. I don't know if you remember Dr. Stavridis. He was a Greek theologian in our church, famed from Greece, spoke with a decided accent. And he talked about the Trinity, and he went on, and someone asked him about us having a spirit body, God having a spirit body, and he said, that does not compute. Spirit and body can't go together. And my first thought was, what about 1 Corinthians 15? He said, now, if you're going to 1 Corinthians 15, that's a spiritual body, not a spirit body. I don't know what that is. Don't ask me. So, but he says here, we're going to have, it's on a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Because he was changed. He's no longer just physically human the way we are. He's transformed. He's changed. It says, verse 48, as was the earthly man, so are all those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are all those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. You know, and I think it's 1 John chapter 3. John there says, we're going to see Jesus as he, we don't know what he's going to be like, but we're going to be like him, for we'll see him as he is. We're going to be transformed. We're going to be given that different body. He says, just as we've borne the image of the earthly man, we're also going to bear the image of the heavenly man. And he still uses that phrase, man, because Jesus is now what we will be in the future when we're transformed and changed, when the perishable puts on imperishable, all of those things. Our bodies will be spiritual, not physical, immortal, just like Jesus is now. You know, when Jesus was taken up into the heavens, they were talking to him. They were listening to him. His body was taken up and ascended into the heavens and covered by clouds. He bodily rose up into the air and disappeared from them. He was taken to heaven that way. His imperishable, immortal, glorified spiritual body. Because by the time he left their side, he was glorified, I'm sure. The same type of body we'll have in the future. He is the first human body ever transformed into a glorious spiritual body. And we are following in his footsteps. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians, the first chapter. And down in verse 18, near the bottom of the chapter, Ephesians 1, verse 18. This is in a prayer. I'm kind of breaking in the middle of the prayer that Paul makes here. He says, verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he called you. He said he wants our eyes open so we can see the hope that we've been called to. The riches of the glorious inheritance in his holy people. Verse 19. And in his incomparably great power for us who believe. He says, we need hope in that great power for us who believe. He says, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. So he said, that's the power. He says, I pray that your eyes are open, that you may be in heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope we have called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, his incomparable great power for us who believe, and that power is the same mighty power and strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. So he said, the same power that raised Jesus up and seated him at the right hand is the power that's going to raise you up and put you there. He said, Jesus seated him at the right hand, at his right hand in the heavenly realms, verse 21, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the ones to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So Jesus is in heaven and he is over all things to the church. We are his body. That's why we sang that song there about being united. Bind us together, Lord, but we're all bound together because we're all one body, one God, one King, one body. And we would be bound together by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is with the Father, ruling over things. And he is there as our intercessor. You know, you don't have to turn there, but 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, 1 Timothy 2, 5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. So he's saying right now, today, that Jesus Christ is the mediator. There's one man that does that. Jesus, the man. He's also, obviously, yes, God. But he's also the man. It is the man, Jesus, the one with both God, who is both God and man, the one who came in the incarnation, the one who was born of a woman, but also had the nature of God because he was God. Two natures in one person, not two different people inhabiting one body, but one person with two natures, God nature, human nature, because he was the very Son of God. But he was also the son of Mary, a human being. And he was called in Matthew, especially, the son of man. It is the man, Jesus, the one who is both God and man, who is the mediator between us and God, the one who understands us, the one who rules under the authority of the Father. As a man, he always submits to the Father, and he's still doing that because he's still human as well as God. So that's why he's submitting to the Father. I want to read to you something from the Grace Communion website about the Grace Communion International website on the Ascension that I found there. Let me quote this. He says, 40 days after his bodily resurrection, Jesus was taken up bodily and visibly into heaven to be with the Father. He did not leave his human nature behind, but remains fully human, though now glorified. So let me read that again. He did not leave his human nature behind, but remains fully human, though now glorified. One with us, one with the Father. Jesus is the one mediator between human beings and God. As one of us, he continues his intercessions on our behalf. Though now visibly hidden from us, Jesus is not cut off from us in the remote past, nor is he at a place from which he cannot reach us. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is present to us by grace. So he says, through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is present to us by grace. From heaven, he reigns with the authority of the Father, protecting us, guiding us, and interceding for us until he returns visibly and bodily to earth in glory. We now live between the times of his first and second advents, awaiting his return. And I quoted a lot of a big long paragraph. There was a lot of stuff in there. But I hope you can see, as he says here, Jesus was taken up bodily and visibly into heaven, to be with the Father. He did not leave his human nature behind, but remains fully human, though now glorified, one with us and with the Father. So he's one with us and one with the Father because he is God as well as being human. He will always be God. Even when we're transformed and our bodies are like his bodies, he will always be God and we will never be God. He will be we will be transformed to be like him. He is the first fruit. He's the first one to be resurrected that way. You know, the ascension drives home the point, I think, very emphatically that Jesus is for us, that he is the one who leads and cares for us because he went to heaven bodily. He's there with God to intercede for us, to cry out to us. He knows as a man that he understands our weaknesses. He understands our strengths. He understands the good and the bad. He loves us he loves us as only God can love us. With that depth of love, the love that Ron was reading to us about, where God loves us so deeply. He loves us with a love that only God can have and love. The incarnation, the very Son of God and the Son of Man in one person. That is your Savior, one who knows you, who died for you, who was willing to give up all the glory of heaven to come and be human. And he's still human. Only what humanity will be in the future. It's such an exciting concept to think about in my mind, what that means. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. This is the other recording of Christ going up to heaven after ascending up to heaven. Both of these are written by Luke, so it must have been impressed upon Luke very strongly. But we're going to start Luke 24 in verse 45. Luke 24 in verse 45. He says, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And we saw that with Peter and John. Healing the man on the steps, going up into the temple and preaching the gospel about Jesus and forgiveness of sins in his name, all of that. He says, verse 48, you're witnesses of all these things. They witnessed, they saw Jesus. They went through the whole process of Jesus' ministry. They saw him killed. They saw him resurrected. They knew he was resurrected. And he says, you are witnesses of these things. Verse 49, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit that's going to come 10 days later on that Pentecost Sunday, as we call it. And he says, to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he says, you are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what the Father has promised. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Verse 50, when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. You know, a benediction, we're just learning the process of giving benedictions. A benediction is a blessing. Usually a minister holds up his hand and says, may whatever takes place, whatever blessing he pours out upon people. And it says here, Jesus had his hands up, looking at his disciples with a blessing. He was blessing his disciples. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Verse 51, while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. That had to be, to me, I think, an encouraging thing, that Jesus would be rising in the air with his hands up, giving them a blessing. we mentioned how they felt. They knew that they weren't going to see him anymore physically, but they also knew he would be with them through the power of the Holy Spirit that was coming. He would be living in them. And they knew what God had given them to do. Verse 52 says, they then worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and stayed continually at the temple praising God. You know, they would go to the temple and praise God for what God had done through Jesus. What a tremendous blessing that the disciples watched Jesus as he was bodily taken up into heaven. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. He gave them a great blessing. And I think that's such a powerful image of God's love and God's concern for them and God telling them, I'm with you. I'm blessing you. You'll do okay. This is going to work. You are my children. And this church will be born with power and will grow. And what a tremendous thing that is to see what Jesus actually did during that ascension. So let's pray. Almighty God in heaven, we do come to you. We praise your holy name and honor you. Thank you for the truth of what it is that happens when the very Son of God came to this earth as a human being, lived, died, was buried, and was resurrected as one of us, and yet also truly as God. And that you entered back into heaven, Jesus, to be our high priest, our king, our Lord, our savior, our intercessor, the one who just pleads for us at all times and cares about us so much that leads us and that blesses us. Because I think that is part of what you do all the time. You give us blessings and you pour out blessings upon us. And Father in heaven, what a joy it is to know you, our living God. And we ask you to bless and guide us. And just we praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. This is